to things. Whether they come from this earth or from another earth, or whether they're life forms or various different things, it could be, as I keep on saying, it could be all of these things at the same time. One may be one kind and one may be another. But I am interested because here is a case which is as good as we can get, that something, well, at least radio, it was in some way connected, in my opinion, with radio interference, let's put it that way. That was a new one. We've had the number of cases of car engines stalling and the lights going out and the radio going off in motor cars, both in France, in Italy, and
in Texas.
And Texas, Levelland and all that stuff. And after all, that was the chief of police who went out in Levelland, Texas, after some people had reported these facts. He said, oh, nonsense, what's going on? He went out and he rode around, and it happened to him, too. You know, and a great number of cases in this Amy Michel book here are from police blotters. And I know with people sitting around and saying this is all nonsense, there cannot be this
number of...
Does that
impress you, the fact that it's only in the police record?
Very much.
It really does?
Yeah, and we're always, I'm very much impressed with the police in practically every country I've been in.
I'm impressed with the police, too, but the fact that they have something in their books about an incident that allegedly occurred doesn't mean a thing, because if I go to the police department now and I tell them that I was walking down West 48th Street near the Hudson River and I saw two little green men, I think they would put it on their books.
Well, then...
They may laugh about it, too, but I think they will record it.
I use the word police blotter in the exact American sense. I don't mean that. What I mean is something quite different, John. That quite a number of the people who have given it as their opinion in here, that the persons who said they saw things were not lying because they were serious-minded citizens, when whole villages said they'd seen the same thing only a few feet distance, and the policeman himself had been there, a junior policeman, and his superior says, well, I think there must have been such a thing taking place because the police, after all, are trained to be a little bit more observant than other people. They're much better apt to be able to discover a lie than just the ordinary person. And it's part of their training.
Well, we're not talking about ordinary things right now, Ivan.
Well, but
you honestly think that policemen are trained to investigate little men?
I think they are trained definitely to investigate and to evaluate the various statements of various different people about an object. You know the old story about 400 people seeing an accident and having 400 different stories? Well, it's the forensic police who has to go through all those stories and try and find out what, as far as possible, what did happen. And I'd much rather have a policeman's evaluation, especially a working country policeman's evaluation of what the people say they saw in his village, than I would take anybody from anywhere else. I think the police, on the whole, tend to be more reliable and know more about it. I believe. Therefore, if I see that a road patrol officer says that he saw so-and-so, I better pick up my ears and say, oh, my golly. I mean, he's, of course, a person in the police force is as likely to be mistaken as anybody else. But when he's one in a group, I'll go and get his evaluation first.
We are talking about a book this morning. Isabel Davis and Lex Mevin. Lex is in Europe at the present time, so... He was not able to join us this morning, but Isabel Davis and Lex Mevin translated this book written by Aimé Michel. The title of it is Flying Saucers and the Straight Line Mystery. The publisher, Criterion, available in your bookstore. I have read the book, Aimé, almost all of it. But I know you've worked on it, and you certainly know a lot more about it than I do by just going through it once. I was wondering if you know offhand how many different stories are in the book about the little green men and about these unusual sightings.
Yes, I do. I counted them up, and the European cases come to 25. That includes one that occurred in France in 1957. All the others are in 1954. One of them is a mention of one that occurred in Germany, but most of the ones that he deals with are French cases. And some of them are extremely interesting. One of the most interesting occurred at a place called Chabay. That's in the department of Drôme, and that's near Lyon and Valence in the southeast of France. It was a Sunday afternoon, Monsieur and Madame Leboeuf who lived in Valence, had gone to visit her in-laws, her parents, rather, in this little town of Chablais. She was out in the afternoon picking mushrooms, and her husband was a few hundred yards away, and there were some other people around, and her dog began to bark. As usual, there are three of these 25 cases in which the dog gave the warning of the something odd was going along, was happening. And she looked over toward a wheat field, and she saw there what she thought was first was a small scarecrow. And then as she walked closer to it, and the dog continued to bark and howl, and the other dogs in the village began joined in the howling, she suddenly realized that this was not a scarecrow. It was coming towards her with a kind of a waddling or swaying gait, and it was like something done up in a she described it as a translucent driving seat. And as it got closer, she saw that there was all she saw the face behind the mask or helmet or whatever it was a what she thought were two very large eyes. And she suddenly realized that she was looking at something that was a little bit out of the ordinary, and she gave a scream of terror and dived into some bushes to hide from this thing. Her husband heard her and came up, and some other people came up also. And the little creature then made its way to a circular, flat, metallic object that was resting some distance away in the wheat field, got in, and the object took off at a very low angle from the ground and went off into the distance very rapidly. And when they went to examine the ground, they found that the wheat was mashed down in a circle about the size of the object, and also that there were some acacia trees there where one or two of the branches had been broken off as the object traveled up in its as it left. And also, because it left the ground at such a low angle, some of the wheat was mashed down. And Madame Leboeuf was in the was in bed for several days, and I think
afterwards,
from the shock. That's mm-hmm. right. And it seems to me that the dog was still scared to death 3 days later. Other people had heard the dogs howling, and several other people, it doesn't say the exact number, had seen the thing take off. And this is at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is unusual because all but I think about three or four of these cases occurred at night or at dusk or at dawn.
Was there any peculiar odor?
No, there was no odor
like
in this
West
one.
West Virginia monster that Ivan...
No, there was no gas in this case, no odor. If there was any odor in the vegetation as a result of the thing being there, it is not mentioned and probably would have been. It did take off with a sharp whistling and sizzling noise. Creatures are also unusual because not by no means all of these things are silent, but a good many of them are. And this is a very well authenticated case. It was very widely publicized in France at the time. It was one of the most famous ones. It was famous as the
fact that the fact that the thing has been publicized a lot.
No.
The Howard Menzies has been
published. You're quite right. It's an excellent point. And no, I shouldn't say that. I should simply say that it was a well-known case. It was better known than some of the others that he put. It was a case they loved.
Isabel, I know everybody sitting around here no doubt has dozens of questions, but it's my good fortune to be the moderator, so I can be greedy and take up a couple of minutes. You mentioned about 25 cases in Europe.
25 cases in this book that he described or mentioned in detail. Now, this does not include the cases that we mentioned in our appendix in this...
How many additional cases do you have in the appendix?
Well, we have about five or six, I think.
In the States here?
In the States here, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, oh yes. I'm referring to cases reported little men and humanoids in the November flat. That's what the appendix covers, is the last November wave of sightings and reports. Now, we don't accept all of these. There are several of them that are of the contact type, and we're very dubious about them. But I was referring to the French cases described by Michel. Now, of course, this is by no means all of them. There must be probably at least 100. It's a little hard to count them because sometimes you'll have an author says there were several other cases, but he doesn't say exactly how many in a given period of time. But we certainly have 100 at least.
I wonder if you could tell us something about the author, Amy Michelle.
He is an engineer.
What kind of engineer?
I believe he's an acoustical engineer. He has made quite a study of this. As you know, he had another book out, The Truth About Flying Saucers, published 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been in quite close contact with a number of folk scientists, astronomers, and so on. He's a technical man, not a theoretical scientist.
Are there a number of French scientists and astronomers who believe in flying saucers?
There certainly are. I don't know all of their names, but some of them have taken a...
Would you say this is more prevalent in France than what it is in the States?
Somewhat more so, yes. I believe that they are a little more willing to come out and express their interest publicly in France. I would get this impression from the book.
Is this possibly why we have 25 European cases in the book?
Because the scientists...
Because there's more believers there?
No, I think one reason is that France is a smaller country, perhaps. Or perhaps there's more landings.
Does that mean we
should
have more because it's a smaller country? Do you think this would be conducive to landings of saucers?
No, I think it would be conducive to learning about the cases.
Population.
Yes.
Population density is much greater.
Much greater and much more evenly distributed than here. And looking at those maps of France, it just seems as if they have a village every mile and a half, and every village has been named, every stick and stone has been named, and they've all been lived in for hundreds and thousands of years. It's perfectly fascinating to study those maps. No, I don't mean that we should have more, but if they occur, I think there's more chance of somebody seeing them because of the density is more even. Wouldn't you say as well as greater than it's more evenly distributed?
Yes.
I don't mean there are no relatively desolate areas, but it's certainly evener than it is in this country.
Isabel, I want to ask you a question that's been on my mind for some time. As I say, I've never had really the opportunity of talking to you for any length of time. Usually we've had a large group around, and you were not the main guest those particular times, and tonight you are. I would like to ask you this. It seems to me that you certainly are implying that you do, in fact, you actually made the statement in answer to a question that I raised early this morning. You do believe that there are little men. We're using that as a term. It's possibly the wrong term, but I think our listeners will understand what I'm referring to. You believe that there are little men arriving in this country and other countries, and possibly they come from other planets. If this is true, and I don't think, at least you haven't told me up to the present moment about any particular evidence that you have, I don't think that you have too much evidence to back up your belief. You're certainly entitled to it. But my question is this. If you believe in the possibility of the little green men, or rather the little men arriving here, why is it that you don't believe the Menger story? Why don't you believe, usually I have a list of 40 to throw at you, but let's just take one of them, or any of the contactee stories. Why don't you believe those?
This is a very interesting question, and I'm extremely glad you asked it, because there is just no comparison between the two types of stories. If you take them as a group, you will find...
You can take them as individuals if you want. You're welcome to speak.
But I have studied them as a group and individually, and also I have studied the Little Men reports as a group. Now, let me tell you a few of the ways in which they're different. In the first place, all the little men stories, all the little men encounters, I will say, are isolated, single experiences in which the witnesses have no forewarning and to which there is no follow-up. This is in contrast to the contact cases, where many of the contactees claim they have been contacted repeatedly. And many of them report that they have premonitions, or they have desires to be contacted, or they have a strange impulse to go out on a hill, and sure enough, they go out and there's a saucer in the Space Brothers to talk to them.
You're referring not to intuition, but to telepathic communication.
Telepathic,
this is what we're told.
And so sometimes they will just say that I had this strange urge. I felt I must go there. Now, this doesn't happen to the people who meet little men. It comes to them as a bolt out of the blue for which they're totally unprepared. Mrs. Simmons, who was driving along a road in Georgia with her husband at night, and saw ahead of her, what was it she thought those were to begin with? I forget. Anyway, it was a group of four little men, and she had just barely had time to swerve the car to pass them so she wouldn't hit one of them. And her husband woke up. He was asleep in the front seat behind, beside her, and he woke up because the swerve was so sharp and sudden, and he wanted to stop and go back. And she said, no, I wouldn't go back to the world. She was terrified. This is another way in which they're different. With very few exceptions, the people who encounter little men are frightened. They're frightened out of their wits. And in the famous Hopkinsville case, where I personally talked to a number of the people who had investigated the story after the report was made, every one of those skeptics said one thing. And the people who didn't believe the story for one minute, one woman skeptic expressed it to me, she said, well, there's no doubt about one thing. She said, those people were scared green. They don't want any repetition of the event. They aren't like the contactees who go out and hope that they're going to meet their space brother friends again. They wish the original experience had never happened.
Isabel, I think I'm asking questions that possibly some of the eight listeners would have in mind, too. Why does this make it more legitimate? Because the person is scared instead of happy about this unusual experience. Why do you feel... If I called you up some morning and I said, look, I just saw a little man. I'm frightened to death, Isabel. I don't know what to do. Why would you believe that rather than if I called you and said, you know, I had the pleasure of going to Mars in a flying saucer. And, Isabel, it's a fantastic trip. I'd like to tell you about it. Why don't you believe that story?
Well, I think there's a basic... One can't talk about the laws of human psychology, but one can certainly... point to a good deal of experience and that is a good deal of observation, and that is that the thing, the person, the creature that is different, that doesn't look like anything we have ever seen before, arouses alarm. It's the outlander, the stranger. It goes back to the days of the tribal organization and the man from across the hill and the neighboring tribes. He was a menace. You'll find it even in a business office. The new man comes in to be the manager, the secretary, the president's new secretary, represents a menace. It's a new, different, strange person.